Take heed when you think you stand, lest you fall. God expects you and I to grow from the very place that he brings us into his own family. God expects us to grow. And if there's real life in your spirit, you will grow. That's been one of my themes all down through the years. If it's alive, it will grow. It's really important that you grow. You start where God begins to minister and deal with your heart in your life, and then you begin to grow. The danger is that there's a possibility that we do not grow as an individual. The danger of living on the edge of the world and not allowing God to lead us into deeper waters and deeper depths with Jesus Christ and following him. Not in and out, not up and down, but just we become so stable that everybody knows exactly who we are, what we stand for, and why we stand for what we stand for. Because they know and they see your life. It's just important. I've got in my notes here that you just ought to jump in with both feet. Just go all the way, whole hog or none. Is that what they said? And we just need to jump in with every bit of our effort. I think one of the great testimonies that we have in our church was Richard and Judy Escalera. And they come to a kids' crusade, walked a sawdust aisle under a tent, and got saved. And they went to work immediately, and they haven't got off the job yet. Thank the Lord. My wife called her this morning and said, "Sister Judy, I'm teaching the class. I need 100 of this and 100 of that." And she said, "Okay, it's no problem." She got to her office and called Sister Spencer and said it hadn't come through. So Sister Spencer emailed it to her again, and she printed it up. But they've been that way ever since they got saved. They just, anything and everything. And then it was kind of amazing. The first time Danny Romero showed up around here, Brother Danny, I remember right out behind that old what we call the bus barn, him working with Brother Richard, and I come by, he introduced me to him, said, "This is my nephew," and he said, "He's here for work day." And it wasn't long until Danny was in every service, and then that day, somebody knocked on my door, said, "Now, Brother Spencer, I don't know what the process is, I don't know which way to go, who I should talk to, so I come to talk to you because maybe I'm supposed to talk to you first." But he said, "I'd like to marry Sherry." Well, I wish everybody would get wise enough to check with the pastor before you decide to get married and who you ought to marry. And I thought, well, they're about the same height. You know, they they got some similarities. She's redhead, he's a blackhead. And, you know, every redhead needs a blackhead, right? And so there was a number of things, and I said, "It's all right, Brother Danny, just come on." But he started at a work day, and from that time on, he never, ever has stopped. He's just been with us. He's been with us. You can read Danny pretty close, because sometimes he'll get a little bit discouraged and have to go back and pat him on the shoulder and say, "Brother Danny, you with us? Everything going all right?" And you know what? He snaps up and snaps to it, and he's been such a blessing. I thought of you, Brother Danny, because I thought, well, what if the Lord would build our work to where we could have a full-time chef? Danny'd love to work for the Lord, just full-time cooking for him. Amen. And help the pastor keep up a big front. You know, it's wonderful. But jump in with both feet. Get your hands dirty. Learn to do and be excited about the work of the Lord. Don't be afraid to talk to your neighbor. Don't be afraid to bring your family, your friends to the house of God. Because when they come to the house of God, God will arrest their souls and bring them into the kingdom of God. It's always exciting. Hallelujah. It's always exciting. And I'm actually preaching out of the second book of Peter, the third chapter. The whole chapter is a powerful, powerful chapter. 2 Peter, the third chapter, verses 1 through 18. The whole chapter, just exciting. And the first, I just want to read the first verse to start with. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Now, we just had two wonderful weeks, camp and revival meeting, and God stirred up our minds. And I want to stir it up afresh and anew today because he said, stir up your pure minds. And this whole world is a filthy place that we live in, ungodliness. And if you're not careful, you can just go along a few days without the house of God, and your mind is clouded and corrupted with the impurifications of this whole world, the filth, the ungodliness. I'm telling you, I thought I'd take a look at the news on my computer, and there's no good news on there. In fact, you couldn't even get the news. All they wanted to talk to you about was, somebody that died. What's his name? Michael Jackson and somebody else that died. Some gal. But the whole world. What'd they say? Somebody told me, said they had 40 guys lookalikes that shown up and wanted to take his place. Well, they're looking for a buck, you know, because evidently the money flows where filth is involved. And so the whole world, I don't know nothing about him. I don't want to know anything about him. I don't know nothing about, what is her name? Farrah Fawcett. I don't know where she come from. I don't know where she's going. It's all wrapped up in this whole world. But we got to keep our minds pure. Jesus Christ is the answer to the entire world. Always has been. And it always has, always will be. Jesus is the answer. And I'm going to just give you my message in a nutshell this morning, just so you'll understand where I'm coming from. But this word in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, talks about the importance of the Word of God. He said, takes you back to the flood time, and said it was the Word of God. If men and women, there were 8 saved in the ark, but the Bible says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness, but nobody would listen to him. They would not hear the word of God, so they were all destroyed in the flood. All destroyed in the flood. And you know why we have revivals today? So we can get more of the word of God. Got to have it. Got to have the word of God. We need it on a daily basis. I'm so thankful that we're finished with our big building project, because I felt like we needed to do some intense study and preaching in the word of God. How many times over the last 4 years have you men come in here so exhausted from a big, big Saturday that you couldn't hardly stay awake during the preaching of the word? But I'm telling you, we need to understand that it is the word of God that makes a difference in our lives today. Noah went into the ark. God shut the door. Nobody else come in. They didn't come out until God opened the door. And it was all according to his word. And you know what? We live today. We move and we have our being in the fact that God's word says this is the way we ought to live. This is it. This is the way. Walk ye in it. Amen. He tells us his word is the most important thing in the world. But whenever, during Noah's time, they rejected for 120 years the word of God. And you know what? From time to time, we have people that are walking here, hear the preached word of God, and turn a deaf ear to it, walk away, and never ever have the blessings of God. It just staggers my mind. Why wouldn't everybody want the blessings of God upon their life? Every one of us have loved ones. They're fiddling around out in the world, losing their soul, losing their children. Everything going in the wrong direction. And it's because they don't hear the word of God. Then you go down toward the end of the chapter. Therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. And you back up and you read, and you'll find that it talks about the Word of God pointing toward the end time, the day that the world is destroyed, fire, destruction, and it's all in the Word of God. You don't have to wind up in a devil's hell, because God tells you in His Word how you can make it without winding up there. So it's a past, it's a present, and it's a future. God's Word is the only thing we can stand upon. His Word is forever settled in heaven. His Word is yea and amen. It's no mistake. It's the only thing that will work in the day we live. It's the only thing that would work in Noah's day. It's the only thing that will work when the trump of God sound. The Holy Word of God. And that's the reason why we've got to have the Word. We've got to have it daily. You need to study it in your home. You need to teach it to your children. You need to talk about it when everybody comes in. You need to talk about it when everybody goes out. It needs to just be the Word of God established and settled in your heart. And you're going to live by it every moment of every day. Not just during revival. I love revival. But you cannot go on the strength of revival. Some of you. In fact, Brother Powers preached the second night at camp. He said, already after some of you were in the altar the first night, you're back allowing your mind to take you in the wrong direction. And then we miss a whole week of services. What happens? You better get in the Word. You better stay in the Word. You better live in the Word. Oh, some of you miss Wednesday night. You should have been here to know that the devil's real. You should have been here to know that the power of God is real. You can't afford to miss the house of God. I'm telling you, your families need to know that God is still in the saving business. Some of you wonder not whether it's really reality, whether or not it's true, whether or not you ought to be involved. I'm telling you, when you come into a situation like that, when you get away from it, Brother Short, you know beyond a shout of a doubt that God is real. His power is the same today as it was back then. And the devil is still the same, and he's fighting every inch of the way to keep you and your loved ones out of the kingdom of God. But you know what? Greater is he in us than he that's in the world. We got the Word of God in our hearts, our life. We stand up. We know what to tell the devil. God is great. God is great. But if we just float along, We don't talk about the power. We don't possess the power. We're never, ever going to have a confrontation, Brother Robinson, of the devil. But I'll tell you what. If we'll open the Word of God up, live in it, walk in it, talk about it, share it with our neighbors, get our pure minds and keep it pure every single day. Don't let the old enemy penetrate your mind with the filth of this old world. I don't know whether it was Doug or Chuck. Somebody said, you know, I was driving down the road and I decided I'd listen to music, and God just spoke to my heart and I turned that off because I didn't need to listen to music. I was driving along. I hesitated even talking about it because, well, people think I told this because they told that. I don't care what the devil's telling us. We need to stand up for what happens in our lives. I was driving along. Had to run to Fresno. I had just about 2 hours. I made the trip in an hour and a half because I just got a parking spot and made it really easy to come right back out. But I reached up and I was going to turn on Sean Hannity. Now, I'm not against Sean Hannity. Don't think that I'm preaching against Sean Hannity. I think he really needs to get saved. He thinks he knows the Lord, but he really, and I'm not talking about Holy Roland Pentecostal, but if he really knew the Lord, he wouldn't be talking about having a beer with Obama. There's some guidelines that you can put in there, and you know for sure. But I was reached up to push that button, the Holy Spirit said, "You need to spend this time with me." Pull that hand back, and I said, "Yes, Lord." I drove to Fresno. I talked to the Lord all the way to Fresno. And you know what? The greatest thing in the world. I didn't see any indentation in the seat next to me, but I believe he got right in my car right then and sat down and rode with me to and from Fresno. And we had a wonderful time. We had a wonderful time. We talked about you folks. Oh, yeah. We talked about a lot of you. We talked about the building. God brought a reassurance in my heart and in my mind that we haven't made a mistake, folks. We just got to go and not stop. Keep moving forward. But I had that conversation with him. Almost an hour and a half. Just me and him. If my wife goes, she wants to do the talking. And she'd like for me to talk, but I'm just not. She said, well, you just sat there and don't say a word. The Lord never treats me that way. But I'm telling you, when I walked into service that night, I felt like I'd spent the time I needed to spend before the Lord, that God could have his way in the service. And you know what? That's where God wants every one of us to live. No, that's, I got to back up just a little bit, because you don't always have that kind of an opportunity. Sister Spencer and I ride together and go together and spend noisy times and quiet times. She talks and I'm quiet, so that's the noisy time and the quiet times. But we don't sin. We don't get involved in things that we had not ought to get involved in. But sometimes when the Lord says, alter your course, alter your course. You don't need to do the same thing that you do every other day. I'm telling you, God will honor you. God will honor you. You know what? You can lift up those hands. You can lift up those hands and thank God and worship him. And you know what? He'll come right into your presence and he'll minister to you. He'll minister to you. How great is our God? How great is his word? He's the greatest one that ever was heard. He rolled back water of the mighty Red Sea. And he said, I want to lead you. Won't you follow me? Let's lift our hands. Lift your voices. Lord, I love you this morning. I need direction in my home. I need direction in my life. Oh God, I can't live on what happened a few years ago. But God, I ask, Lord, that you direct me this day and tomorrow. And every step of the way. And we thank you for it.